This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Money that's not making anyone feel better.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. As Congress debates what to do about health care, a report out this morning says, follow the waste. A survey from the information company Thomson Reuters says the U.S. healthcare system wastes about $700 billion a year. The report cites inefficiencies and mistakes and fraud. Another problem the government's tackling is what to do about financial institutions that are huge and wobbling. New reports this morning say Congress is about to propose new rules that would give the government more power to take apart financial giants that get into trouble. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite has our story.
Rescuing big banks and other financial firms was not something the government had in mind last year, but it felt it had to step in to save the financial system and the entire economy. The New York Times says under the new bill being introduced this week, it would be easier for the government to swoop in, take control of flailing financial institutions, and get rid of management. It would also make it easier for the government to wipe out shareholders and alter the terms of the company's loans. Under the current rules, the government can't act fast to solve problems at financial institutions that aren't banks. Under the new rules, that would change. Last week, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said the government should have the power to dissolve troubled companies and said other measures were also needed to cut down on the likelihood that one company could create chaos throughout the system. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Major European markets are mildly higher this morning. Asian stocks rose today, too, after South Korea reported its fastest economic growth in 7 years. Wall Street, however, was down last week, with the Dow losing 109 points on Friday, closing at 9,972. In Britain, a mass vaccination against the swine flu starts today. The British government says it has enough vaccine. That's not the problem. The fear is this flu could overwhelm the country's state-run health service. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Vaccine supplies may be plentiful and the virus may be proving much less lethal than feared, but there is a worrying trend and it could have a big impact on Britain's state-run health system. The number of new swine flu cases doubled here last week. The number of victims admitted into intensive care also shot up. Andrew Lansley is a Conservative Member of Parliament and opposition spokesman on health.
In Britain, we start from a position where we have relatively few intensive care beds compared to our population, compared to other countries, and those are already very hard-pressed.
The government says it will double the number of ICU beds to 4,000, but given current trends, there could be 5,000 swine flu victims needing specialised care in the coming months. The NHS could face its toughest winter, a potential embarrassment for some supporters of healthcare reform in the US. They've been pointing to the NHS as a model system. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The internet started in the United States, but its addresses are about to go global. This week, the nonprofit group that oversees domain names is expected to approve addresses not based on Latin letters. That could open up the web to more people, as they'll be able to type in characters in Arabic, Korean, Cyrillic, and more.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 7 million K-12 students are enrolled in school districts that use software from SunGard Public Sector. More information at sunguard.com. And by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. American Public Media presents Early Lessons, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
The Chronicle of Philanthropy reports this morning the nation's biggest charities are forecasting a 9% decline in giving this year. That would be the steepest drop since the group started tracking private donations in the early 90s. Stacey Palmer is the editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Good morning.
Hi, happy to be with you.
A 9% drop. How seriously will this cut into the work these charities are doing?
That's a very dramatic amount of money for charities to be down, and many of them have already been taking cost-cutting measures. They've laid off staff members. They've done every efficiency they can. So at this point, it's going to start cutting into services.
Will you give us an illustration of how charities are responding to the falloff?
One of the things most nonprofits are doing is really looking at what is the thing that they do that's most essential. And so if there's one kind of program that they think perhaps somebody else might be able to take care of, they're looking at that. They don't want to just give up on people. And one of the challenges charities face isn't just that they have to serve as many people as they did last year. Most of the time they have to serve many, many more people. So they're looking at ways to do that more efficiently depending on what it is that they're working on.
How does a charity tell people to give when, for example, unemployment is still rising?
One of the things most nonprofits are very aware of is that some people don't have jobs and they can't appeal to them, so they're focusing on the people who are affluent still and who still have enough money to give. They're very careful not to make a pitch to somebody who can't afford to give.
Goldman Sachs employees, are you listening?
They are expected to, there's talk about them giving a billion-dollar donation from Goldman Sachs, so that could indeed be a good place for many charities to turn to.
What's an area where charitable giving is actually rising?
One of the groups that did really well on our survey was Teach for America, which went to its donors and said, we're being flooded with applicants. People want to teach in schools, and we've got all these kids who really want to go into the schools and do great things. So they appealed to their donors and said, we need a growth fund, and they brought in $80 million. They had only asked for $50 million, so it was a tremendous example of people responding when a charity asked for money and explained what they were going to do with the money.
Stacey Palmer edits the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Stacey, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And finally, why is a major hedge fund investing in prisons? You could say it's because hedge funds have been supplying jails with inmates lately. William Ackman likes to joke about that, too, since his Pershing Square Asset Management Group took a stake in the private prison company, Corrections Corp of America. But Ackman says it's actually not a hedge against incarceration. He says prisons are a terrific real estate play. You're listening to Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.